good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Butch Paul, Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Friday, June 12th, 2020, and I want to thank Butch for sitting in for Dave Allen. He's a little under the weather, so we wish him well, and we must keep him in our prayers. So I'm not quite sure when he will be returning. Hopefully it'll be soon. So we'll find out a little bit later on this weekend. So anyway, thank you for joining me today, Butch.
Oh, I always enjoy it, Melody. Always enjoy it. I really do. It's a fun program. We cover a lot of information. It's much pretty serious, but we have a few laughs along the way, too.
Is it too much fun?
I don't think so.
Do people take us seriously? Are we having too much fun?
I hope they are. And a little bit, I'm going to share with you. Just this way you get to take me and Marsha and Todd and Don to for a week's vacation. I'll share with you in a minute because you're going to love this.
I love vacations.
But you'll love this, I guarantee you. And it's not all that expensive. You'll find out in a minute. But anyway, I know you want to talk about markets first. So go ahead. And then I'll share with you where you're going to take us.
Okay. All right, okay. Gold today. It's up 460, so I hope that helps me taking us on that trip. 460 to the positive, $1,732.70. Silver was down 14 pennies at 1760. Platinum was up 5 at 813. Palladium was up 13 at 1,982. The USDX today was up 0.46 at 97.22. Crude oil is also up 4 pennies at 36.38. And the paper markets today, of course, we knew there'd be a rebound from yesterday after the 1,800 drop on the Dow. You have the Dow up 190, or I should say 1.9%, almost 2%. It was up 477 points, 25,605. The NASDAQ was up 1%. 9,588. The S&P was up 39, 3,041. 10-year yield, 0.70%. You know, European Asian markets were, you know, the ones that were down under 1%. London was up 0.5%. So, you know, all the news is still much the same. We're going to talk a lot about what's going on. I have a report here about U.S. manufacturing, but I got to hear about this vacation first, Butch.
Oh, you're going to be so excited. I know you can't wait to take me and Don and Marsha and Todd with us, and I know you can afford to do this for us. You're just going to love it. It's a luxury quarantining. It's a ranch in Wyoming. It's got to be beautiful. There's only like 6 people per square mile in Wyoming, so it's not hard to get, you know, some social distancing in Wyoming at all.
Where's
and,
that?
And along with this is... It's in Wyoming.
Wyoming. Okay.
It's called Maggie Homestead. It's got 30,000 acres, private acres now, prairies, mountains, rivers, you know, all these things. And you can go horseback riding. And including the prices, rooms and meals and most activities are included. You know, it's, there's some things you might pay extra for. But it's, you know, they have luxury cabins and all kinds of beautiful things that we could do with this ranch, and the prices I thought very reasonable, you know, in a cowboy state. You can rent this place per cabin, and you only need 3 cabins, at $175,000 a week.
That's all.
So, that's all for this per cabin. I mean, that's not bad. So, I figure you go and book us a room sometime, maybe in July or August, and we'll all go out there and spend a week.
Well, I'll tell you what, they better be some. Fabulous cabins for that price.
And of course, being single, you probably want some fabulous cowboys too, don't you? But anyway.
Now, Butch, absolutely.
But I figure, you know, that's not bad. The minimum price is $25,000 a night to rent the entire property. Now, that includes 30,000 acres and all the stuff with it. So $175,000 a week, you got a 30,000 acre ranch you can ride horses on and, you know, and have all the meals cooked for you and wait on hand and foot. And I know that you probably make more than that in a day or two, so I thought we'd got to spend some time.
So actually you can rent the whole property for $175,000.
Yeah, it's all, you get it all, the whole thing.
Get
I mean,
it all.
Cabin, rental, all. I mean, and his luxury cabins. I saw a picture inside of them. They're not real big, but they're sure are pretty. And I thought it'd be a good idea. I know Todd was all for the idea, so, you know.
Book it, Dano.
there you go. And I'll chip in for the gas.
You'll do that, huh?
I'll chip in for the gas.
But going both ways?
Well, that might be kind of expensive, especially in Todd's new pickup truck. So, know we're pulling your leg, but hey, you got to laugh a little bit. I mean, I looked at that and I thought $175,000 a week. It's hard for my mind to wrap around the idea that anybody can afford that. I know some people can.
Well, there's a lot of people that can.
Oh,
in today's world, when you know the wealth is all into the hands of, but anyway.
Well, if we could afford that, we could buy our own plane. You know what I'm saying? So it's all right.
Well, you know what? We could have a pretty big wing ding up there, you know, if we got all the listeners and everybody, and everybody chipped in.
Yeah.
You know, they'd have to bring their own tents and camp out under the stars and so forth.
And bring
along
some hot dogs
we could whittle that down
and marshmallows
to...
and... So bring along some hot dogs and marshmallows and build a campfire?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
why
we
not?
Could, you know, all we need is 175 people at $1,000 a pop.
there you go.
I mean, you could put 175 people on 30. You could easily put 175 people across 30,000 acres. That'd be easy.
You give everybody about several hundred acres apiece, couldn't you?
Yeah. Pretty much.
So anyway, I thought it was a good idea, but think it over.
All right, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the U.S. manufacturers. You know, we hear everything's coming back. We hear about all the automobile companies ramping up. And here's an article. It was out of Reuters. Here's this one lady. She was able to bring back most of her furloughed workers last month, and of course that was all with the help of special government money, loans, but now she's got to lay them off again. Integrity Metals, LLC, in Illinois. They make metal parts for big companies like General Electric, Honeywell, International Inc. They were hoping for a surge of orders as, we began to see things open up, and companies began to restock their shelves. She also hoped the disruptions of recent months would pull more businesses back to the U.S. shores. That was just chatter. That was political chatter. But people believed it. And she thought that would create new opportunities for smaller suppliers like herself. They have 20 employees. She says that hasn't happened yet. They were able to rehire with the aid of just over $200,000 from the Paycheck Protection Program, or PPP, and that was the loan that would, which offered the forgivable government-backed loans. How would you like to get a $200,000 loan and it just goes away? You don't have to pay it back.
That's not really a loan, is it?
Yeah.
That's not really a loan. That's against a grant.
It's a grant. The Small Business Administration has approved 4.5 million of these loans, averaging about 113,000 in size, for the 512 billion as of June 10th. And some of the strength in the U.S. payrolls report for May, which included a startling 225,000 manufacturing jobs, was a result of companies taking part of this program in this program. So they laid them off, hired them back with money, and now they can't keep them because the work's not there. The problem now is that demand in many industrial sectors, from oil and gas to construction equipment, remains depressed. And you know, that underscores the subdued response key policymakers, as Jerome Powell, has shown over the big upsurge in hiring in May. He says, you know, we talked about this before. It's a long road. It's going to take time. We ran over the numbers that the Fed released this week. And the surprise 2.5 million jump in jobs in May remained the single data point for now. I mean, that's what everybody is focused on. But today, Data showed more than 20 million people remain unemployed, even as new claims fell for a 10th straight week. And as I said, you did have some manufacturing that was kind of picking up. You had Detroit. They're rushing to build trucks, SUVs, Polaris. They reported record sales in April and May. All of their plants are running at full capacity. And he says he doesn't see us going back to a pre-recession level outputs until 2022. So I think here you see the big companies. They get the same money. They get the same loans. But they get a much bigger share of it. And the little guy isn't getting the benefits of the so-called recovery. So,
I know my youngest son is still unemployed, and he's in healthcare in medical clinics, and he's still unemployed. They haven't called him back yet. So it's all slow going back to the healthcare, and they said they're still not nearly as busy as it was before this started. Even though they reopened, they're just not near as busy. So I don't understand why necessarily, but they're not as busy, so he's still not going back to work yet. Unemployment just lasts so long, you know.
Yeah. And there was an article, I don't know where this, 45% of U.S. employers have yet to announce a return to work date.
Wow.
I mean, they're not even making a guess of when they're going to be able to invite their employees back to work, to their usual places of work. 45%.
Well, you know, a lot of these little guys you mentioned, the lady had a metalworking place in Illinois, you know, took a couple hundred thousand dollars and couldn't stay open. This article, bear market drives billion-dollar wealth firms to tap federal aid. These are billion-dollar companies. The money managers who oversee billions of dollars in assets tapped federal aid at the height of the coronavirus pandemic, a move that has proved controversial within the financial industry. Several wealth management firms have disclosed in recent weeks that they received a funding from the Paycheck Protection Program, a forgivable loan program enacted by Congress to keep struggling small businesses afloat during the pandemic. Now, these Carson Group, a $12 billion wealth management firm, got PPP. The Cornerstone Advisors Asset Management, LLC, $6.3 billion, got that. Creative Financial Designs, $1.4 billion, also got it. And Rich Hoss Wealth Management, $1.3 billion company, also got PPP. I'm trying to digest this. I mean, their $12 billion company needs a bailout? Are they spending all the profits? Just a question I have. I don't know. That's taxpayer money bailing out a $12 billion company, Melody. I would think they could do a little better than that.
I mean, I remember one of the first companies that was released. I don't know if they're a billion-dollar company, but you have Ruth Chris. I'm sure they got to be pretty close to a billion-dollar company. And they were one of the first ones that came out and said they got the loan, the money. And that's why I said, well, I'll never eat a Ruth Chris again. They gave the money back. Because it hurt their image more. It wasn't worth hurting their image to that degree. But then there are so many corporations that got this money that we don't know who they are. They're not going to release that information.
They're not even telling us who they are.
No.
You know,
how wrong is that?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I don't know, but it's just amazing to me. But there's 511 being put out, and they hadn't told who got it. $511 billion in somebody's pocket, and they won't say where it went.
I know.
But now you know it's all about board, Mel. They would never do anything wrong.
They would never do anything wrong, of course not.
Never. Not even close.
No.
it's
so
frustrating.
It is frustrating, because you know what, Butch? Every time I get this moment of hope, you know, that maybe... But I think I'm past that now, because it's all the same thing. It's the same thing. It's not going to change. I mean, I go in and out of hope, and I go in and out of it's the same thing. And it's... But you would think that somehow, with the Freedom of Information Act, that you would think that somehow they would be able to get that information.
Well, you would think so. You would think so, because that shouldn't be something so hard to find. That's mm-hmm. If that was private funds, I can understand it, but it's taxpayer money.
Taxpayer money.
So that's our money. We should know where it goes. It's our business.
According to the filings with the Securities and the Exchange Commission, the SEC, nearly 300 publicly traded companies received $1 billion in stimulus funds, but they don't say who they are. There's no list.
$1 billion. Wow. We had that.
Anyway,
could rent that place.
We could.
And I do want to share an article, though, that I think is important. I don't have time to go for the break or not, but it's a business. As businesses flee the violence, will major U.S. cities be transformed into economic wastelands? And I'll read part of this before we go to break. Urban communities all over the U.S. are now facing the possibility of a mass exodus of businesses, and many local leaders are freaking out because they realize that such a mass exodus will mean what will mean for the cities. In the aftermath of George Floyd's death, peaceful protests were held in more than 300 cities all across America. And a recent CNN poll found that 84% of all Americans supported these peaceful protests. Kind of doing dumb. But anyway, unfortunately, rioting, looting, and violence also erupted in major cities from the coast to coast, and very little was done to suppress that violence. As a result, the core areas of many of our largest cities now resemble war zones. And in the months ahead, there will be a constant threat that the violence could flare up again at any time. And I've got my comment here. That is kind of scary, because you never, if you survive this, what happened again next month? You never know. Once this is tolerated, Melody, once it's tolerated and allowed to happen, and the cops stand down, do nothing, who's going to keep them happening again? If no one pays for this, if no one goes to jail for this, in Seattle, for example, if no one is punished for this, why won't they do it again? That's a fair question, isn't it?
It is. And you know, you're absolutely,
But you go ahead. I'm going to go to break, and I'll finish our back. But that is a fair. I can understand businesses being nervous. If they're looted and burned out the first time, how are they going to know to rebuild there? What's the guarantee when the cops didn't stop them the first time? If they were powerless or just didn't stop them, it makes no difference which way it went. It still happened. If they can't protect you or won't protect you, it's the same result, is it not?
It is. And you know what, Butch? It just amazes me, though, what's coming out of these politicians' mouths. It's like the mayors, like the mayor of Seattle, the governor of Washington. It's people out of D.C. It amazes me what is coming out of their mouths. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. It's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And
right. I'll finish this article if you want me to.
All right.
But again, to make a comment, because this is really a serious comment. We need to let this die just a minute. If a nation becomes so corrupt and so violent that it cannot be controlled by law enforcement, or they refuse to try to control it, the nation is finished. Society is done. It's over. If you cannot control violence, there's not a society left. You have anarchy. Mrs. O'Gillon is saying, needless to say, many businesses that have been torched or looted are going to be extremely hesitant to rebuild and start over in the same location when the same thing could easily happen again. For example, one manufacturing company that proudly operated in the heart of Minneapolis for a long time has already made the decision to leave the city for good. The owner of the manufacturing company based in Minneapolis has decided to move his factory, and law enforcement was unable to protect the plant from burning during riots. And in Chicago, Mayor Lori Lightfoot is saying that it will require a Herculean effort, to prevent a mass exodus of businesses from happening. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot said it would be a Herculean effort to keep businesses open in disadvantaged neighborhoods after looting and damage occurred during the first weekend of protests following the death of George Floyd. I've been on calls and text messages with people all day who fought hard to bring economic development to the city areas of the city, only to see the Walgreens, the CVS, the grocery store, everything vanishing in an eye blink. Lightfoot said on the May 31st call with a distraught alderman, "It's going to take a Herculean effort on the part of all of us to convince businesses not to disappear, to come back. We're prepared to fight that fight." Perhaps, this article says, if a Herculean effort had been made to prevent the violence from happening in the first place, Chicago and other major cities would not be facing such a crisis today. Melly, I know that all these protesters, these looters, are paid to do that. We know that to be a fact. That is a fact. But people in these communities where this is happening, if they're part of this and they're destroying their businesses in their own community, they got to be dumber than rocks. I mean, they're destroying their own communities, their own livelihoods. They're destroying their own families. I know there's some there who are paid to do this, and they get paid well to do these things. But for the community members to stay there and maybe join this effort, that is unbelievably ignorant, to say the least. Would you agree?
I mean, absolutely. But you know what, Butch, too? I, not all these people have been paid.
I know they haven't been.
People are just thugs, for a lack of a better term, and I'm stealing that term from what I read. They're thugs.
But if they live in a community, why would you destroy a young community?
Because they're used to it. I mean, you go into Chicago, who's shooting each other? They're killing each other. You know, a lot of these major cities. And yeah, there's inner city problems. And they need to look to why and where, like your own local governments, your state governments. I mean, that's where the corruption lies. It all comes down from the top. So, yeah. And you know what? Leaving an area because they can move to another area, but who's to say it's not going to happen there either?
That's the whole key. That's the whole point. Yeah. If you can't be safe anywhere, why would you build anywhere?
Why would you build anywhere?
In your own business or your own home,
shouldn't you ask yourself, why? Why do I have this thought of leaving? And find out who is to blame?
I would think
who should be held accountable?
Well, so far, nobody's been held accountable. So far, nobody's been put in prison. The other I know of this bounty thing is nothing's happened.
And you know what? These business owners, you look at these states, you know, I don't know Minneapolis, but or Minnesota, what the weapons laws are.
They're pretty
good.
But
I know what
they
probably are in Washington State.
Yeah. Really.
They're gun-free zones.
So
how can a business protect their own?
They really can. I would say that they're allowed to have guns, but I can understand people being hesitant to use them. But, Melody, we're talking about people's livelihoods here, and we're not talking about somebody protecting a car or somebody stealing a boat, although that's bad enough. But we're talking about people's livelihoods here.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not just small business. Just not the owner.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's taking out, of course, the owner, but the people that work there depend on that, too. And listen to what this city councilwoman said out of Seattle. This is unbelievably ignorant. I'm going to try to be polite here. Seattle councilwoman says warlord controlled Chaz should remain in public hands. Oh my gosh, my gosh, my gosh. A Seattle councilman says the 6-block warlord controlled Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, or Chaz, should permanently remain in the hands of the public, according to Como News. Councilwoman Kashma Shawant, sounds like an American name to me, who embedded herself in the front lines of Seattle's BLM protest over George Floyd's death, a black man who died after Minneapolis cop nailed on his neck for nearly 9 minutes, says she plans to introduce legislation which would officially convert the neighborhood into a community center for restorative justice. She wants to leave it as it is, run by warlords and by the mafia, so to speak, to make businesses pay for protection. This is what this councilwoman, Melanie, she got elected to office. Mm-hmm. Somebody put her there. And she's not, I don't know what's been said about her, if they're going to do anything or not, but she wants to leave it like it is. Let them take it over and let them have it. Is that not kind of giving them the permission to go take over some more city blocks? Another town, perhaps? You're not going to oppose them here. Why oppose them in Baltimore or Philadelphia or Charleston, West Virginia? Why oppose them? If they want to take it over, let them have their little restorative justice centers, they call it. I don't know, Melody.
Yeah,
maybe you got the answer.
I told you these politicians are saying the stupidest things.
They are. One of them said, I can't remember who it was. I wish I'd found that note on that. Said that having these fires is good. It's like a forest fire. It burns down the forest, but comes back new and fresh. That was a paraphrase, but she said something like that. In other words, you burn these businesses down, maybe a good thing, and they'll come back new and fresh.
Buddy,
where are their heads?
I don't know. And, you know, if I hear again that most of the protests out there are peaceful, and only the riots that gets all the publicity, there's only a few. And it's like, really? Are you kidding me? It's amazing that they can condone that behavior. It's frightening, Butch.
It is frightening, Melody. Mm-hmm. I mean, compared to the idea of home invasions, but only 10 people were killed. There's been 150 invasions, only 10 people killed. So, you know, we can't get too upset over that.
No.
Yeah,
they weren't like George.
No, they weren't low. So, no, it's no big deal. I mean, this is what we're seeing. But this is a situation that is so touchy now. Somebody mm-hmm. has to step up and say, this is enough. I don't know how they're going to do it or who's going to do it. But I'm reading here that Trump's actions rattle the military world. A lady named Aaron Fragman grew up in a military family, has been married to a captain of the Air Force for 18 years, and has voted Republican all her life, including for Donald J. Trump. As with a number of other veterans, troops, military family members who have watched the president with alarm, her support has evaporated. Now, I understand the point we'll get to it in a minute as far as what he proposed to do with the military, which is totally unconstitutional. But somebody got to step in and do something. He has hurt the military, said Mrs. Fagman, who lives in Arizona, and one of the civil rights in play with this November when a high percentage of veterans and active duty service members bringing in active duty members to the streets was a test to disincentivize people to his future use the military for their personal benefit. I think the silent majority among us is going to swing away. When you brought in the active duty military in to police the streets, he said the military doesn't like that. Since 2019, Mr. Trump has viewed veterans as a core slice of his base. In that year's presidential election, about 60% have voted for him, according to exit polls, and swing state counties with especially high numbers of veterans helped him win. Many veterans and members of the military stuck with him even as he attacked the Vietnam War record of Senator John McCain, disparaged families of those killed in combat, and denigrated generals whom he fired or drove from government service. Some conservative rank-and-file enlisted members silently agree with Mr. Trump. But the president's threat last week to use active-duty troops on American streets against largely peaceful protesters and his flirtation with invoking the 1807 of Insurrection Act have rattled the military world from its top to its youngest veterans, top leaders' youngest veterans. If they break in significant numbers, they could carry political weight in key battleground states like Arizona, North Carolina, and Ohio. So I understand that, and I'm glad to hear the military does not want to be deployed on the streets. Good for them. They don't belong on the streets as peacekeeping forces. That's not what they're made for. That's against posse comitatus, a codicil. That's not what's made for. So I'm glad they're saying we don't want to use military on civilians in America. I'm glad to hear that. But Trump is going to lose a big base there. If he loses military support come election time, if there's an election like you say, he's going to lose a big base. As a matter of fact, he's already lost a lot of big bases. You know that. That they used to support him.
Yeah, and I mentioned to someone today, it's almost like he's trying to lose the election. And I mean, what they did when he moved those and they were peaceful protesters. And you know what? I think people would have even been able to acknowledge that if there was some sort of a threat to the White House, even though they might have been peaceful and so forth, if they were getting numbers and, you know, because there was violence, you know, the days before and so forth, if he hadn't taken the photo op and walked through, and I think that just compounded the reason why he had them removed. And, you know, because isn't the military there, though, to protect the White House? I'm asking you, Butch.
Yes, they are. The military guys, as commander in chief, he's head of the military, so to speak.
Yeah, so they are there to protect him. So if they had viewed there was a threat and they wanted to remove their, you know, even though they were peaceful protesters, that's what they do based on that situation. Now, correct me if I'm wrong as I'm saying this, Butch. But then he did the photo op. And that changed the whole view of why they did it. Because it was something told, they were just, there was no threat to the White House. They were just removing the peaceful protesters, and that is wrong.
It is. And
it is wrong.
I'm all for the Bible, but the whole with the Bible like that, and that was kind of bothered me even, the point that he did it for a photo op. He didn't do it because he meant it. He did it for a photo op. But you know, Joe Biden has now said that even if he wins the election, he didn't think Trump is going to advocate the presidency. He read that, right?
I think they're setting it up so that there will be voter fraud. And, you know, and I just don't know. I mean, anything is possible. And when you know President Trump's personality, I mean, you can see them already setting up the voter fraud, and he won't leave. That's why I don't think there will be an election. But
that's what Biden said. Biden said, even if he wins, Trump won't leave the White House. That'd be a strong move. I don't know how wise it'd be either. Of course, the nation's already splitting. You know that. So that would be, I think, the final wedge that would split the nation wide open.
I don't think he would stay unless there was reason to. It would have to support his reasoning and so forth, and it could be a war for making, you know, and that's why, again, I've heard about no elections for 30 years. Every presidential election.
Oh, yes.
And I would always say, silly, 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 there's going to be an election. every presidential election, I heard it. And this is the only one that I think I'm saying there's not going to be an election. But
you know,
anyway.
To hear you say that makes me think seriously about it, because you've never, ever said that before.
Nope.
So I don't take that lightly. I take that as Melody's common sense and learned opinion. I hope you're wrong, but you could very well be right. Yeah, that's the way it is.
This election isn't going to go, we vote, there's a winner, and we move on.
Yeah,
that's not going to happen.
Not any longer. It didn't work that way last time. Yeah, you know, it's been turmoil ever since 2016, and with Obama, same thing to a certain degree.
Yeah.
But the next article says is political polarization peaking in America. Voters embrace all or nothing mentality along party lines. In other words, if you're a Democrat, you're going to support what they like, or you're wrong. And if you're a Republican, you support what they like, or you're wrong. You speak some common ground. Now there's no common ground. If you don't think that they think, then you're wrong and you're stupid. Whether no matter which side it is, it's either all or nothing. You agree with us or get out. That's what it boils down to. I don't care whether it's gun control, murdering babies, whatever it is. If you don't agree with whatever they stand for, there's no more middle ground. We can't work together on this. We're too polarized. We're just going to have to decide who's going to be right and who's going to win. And then even if there's an election, like you said, and no matter who we say, no matter who they say wins, I don't know if they can trust that or not. It's going to be polarization. There's going to be turmoil no matter who's in office. Melody, our nation's peaceful life as a society is finished. It's over.
It's over.
It ain't come back no more. I don't like to say that, but it doesn't change the truth. It is not coming back.
And it's funny because I think listeners, don't get upset with me. We're just talking. You know, when President Trump in 2016, he was hot. 2015, he was hot. He was on fire. He's not on fire this time. And I don't think the same program, the pep rallies, that's not going to work for him. He's a politician now. And to win this race, if he's serious about winning this race, he has to run it as like a politician. Talking about the veterans and trying to, that's not going to work. Tax cuts is not going to work. Saying he's bringing back the economy like he did before, that's probably the only thing he has to go on. But the pep rally is not going to work because the people in the pep rally are already for him. How is he going to garner new votes?
Good point.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
I need to learn the golden rule. Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And if I were to advise President Trump to win the election, I would can everyone around him running his campaign. Every single one. And I would get a new group, maybe some that American people don't know, and rebrand. But he doesn't have enough time. He doesn't have enough time to rebrand himself. But that's what I would do.
He's only got 4 months, so, you know, 4 months all left. You know that.
Well, he's got a lot of money, too. He's got a lot of money. He's got the RNC behind him and everything else. But he's running the show, and he's running himself into an early grave in the election.
Well, so did I don't know if the RNC behind him or not, at least at full tilt. I'm not sure they're all behind him.
Well, they have normally to be. Who else would they be behind?
Well, in the primary, normally when in the primary, when the president's going to run again, he's going to run, you know, he's already in office, going to run again, nobody opposes him.
Yeah.
He had several people opposed him this time.
Yeah.
On the ballot.
There was somebody else on
him.
True, but I mean, he's got the elect.
He's nominated. I mean, he's going to run again, no doubt.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean the base is very solid, put it that way.
Yeah, true.
I mean, they have no choice. If they're going to stick Republican, they got no choice. But will they?
But to get the Republican votes, other than his base, he needs to start talking like, and I hate to say this, it hurts my stomach when I say this, but if he wants to be reelected, he needs to start acting like a Republican politician.
Well, I don't know, Melody. I'm really concerned. I'm concerned for this summer and this fall. I really am, for a lot of
reasons.
Because
I think his base already knows. I mean, he could still, you know, he needs more of that Republican base other than what he's got. And
well, a lot of people running for office, senators and even governors now are not wanting to mention him in the campaign when they're reelected because they don't want to be tied to him. So,
but you know what, Butch, though? I hated those pep rallies that he held. But everybody, and no disrespect to those who went and enjoyed them. I have friends who went and enjoyed them, and they loved them, and they go to everyone. I no disrespect whatsoever. But it kind of lowered the bar. And he's playing to a crowd. And that's what he is. He's playing to the crowd. And that's what I think he thinks he can do again, is play to the crowd. The crowd's changed. The world's changed. Maybe the crowd didn't change, and it's not going to work for him this time. You're not going to hear people chanting, "Lock her up." You're not going to hear, you know, people chanting other things. Because it's only going to make him... Go ahead.
I'd say a lot of people actually thought he would lock her up. They really thought he would lock her up. They were talking about that.
Happen.
Trump will clean this up. He'll clean the swamp. He'll lock up Hillary Clinton. You and I both said that's not going to happen. not us, many other people did too, said it's not going to happen. This is all hype. It's like this, watch this on, it's all over the internet all the time, but the white knight or the white, they're going to come back in and take over, going, and they're about ready to take things out. And yeah. I can't remember what to call that now. Anyway, despite ready to change, the good guys are ready to move in and do something. Folks, it ain't going to happen that way. It ain't going to happen. The nation will never go back to what it was even in 2016. Never. Never, never, never will you see another election that's not going to be fraught with all kinds of frustrations and anger, and who knows what else is going to happen. When the nation is no longer capable of keeping its temper and not tearing down and burning down businesses for whatever, for any reason, businesses had nothing to do with this. Innocent people had nothing to do with this. When we lose that matter of self-control and decency, that we'll destroy other people's lives because we're angry, for an innocent people, I'm saying, then we've lost our society. That's all there is to it. We've lost that. So, I'll be quiet now.
And no, and you know what? And when, you know, if, and I don't want Biden in there.
I don't either.
Because, you know, the first thing the Democrats are going to do, and we can't even, who's even, have you heard anybody about trying, the Republicans trying to take over back the House and the senators, you know, the Republicans trying to keep, I mean, no one is focusing on any of those races that I know of, maybe a little more locally. So if we lose the Senate too, and you get all Democrats, that's when we're going to be. The first thing they'll do is change the Electoral College. It's the first thing they will do. And then they'll do everything else that their little liberal, evil agenda consists of.
Well, I don't know if you ever watched that video I sent you yet or not from 1965. If you hadn't, you should watch it. This has been planned for a long, long, long time.
Been planned for a long time.
You know, and they're getting it to fruition now, and they're doing it. All overthrows in every country start with violence with the people. You know that. Unrest in the people. All overthrows come to that. They've started that way. Overthrow healthy governments, they started the people, they upset the people with them being violent. And when the French Revolution, we're going through the same thing, basically. No, there's no real moral leader as we had during 1776. There were no, we don't have the same morality, the same ideas. We have now a mob rule mentality, and that's what's happening. That's where it's at. But, you know, on a different topic, you know, I'm going to take a trip next month, Lord willing, and Marsha and I, and I just reading here, we're going to fly, and the FAA warns of dangers of flying planes with too few passengers, because the plane is so light, it can shoot up so quick. Now, this is all real stuff. It'll go up so fast that they overshoot their altitude they should be on. The planes swerve back and forth on the runway when they're too empty, too light. The planes are coming out of mothballs. They got to go over all of them, make sure they're still flyable. And the real bad one that bothered me, the pilots have missed all their training courses for a long time now. They got to go back for refresher courses before they start flying. So that all those things come together, and you think about that, that's kind of scary, Melody. You know? It really is. I don't think that I like to be up in the plane when I find out the pilot forgot how to fly.
I could tell you something that would really scare you.
What's that?
You want to know?
Well, yeah, I don't care. I'll just
now, this was a real long time ago, but a very good family friend, he worked for Boeing. I'm sure I shared this on the radio before. Very good friend with Boeing. Very good friend of the family, worked for Boeing. He built the planes. He was president of the section that designed and built the planes. And he was... you know, at the time that I knew him, he was flying to China. They were building up their things and so forth. And he told us one time, and this was back in, would have been in the early 80s, probably the early 80s. He says, if you knew what the condition of the planes were in, you would never fly. And that thought is in my mind every time I fly. But that's what he said. If people knew the condition of the planes when they flew, they would not fly.
Well, I like to think it got better, but I doubt that it did.
I'm sure it did. I'm sure it did.
I like to think so, but the 80s were a lot better off financially than they are right now. If they can't afford to fly now, I mean, I don't know. But, you know, this next article is really kind of a sad statement, but it's really happening. The commercialization of George Floyd. U.S. firms look to capitalize on the movement. But folks, this is actually happening. When the protests
talked about this yesterday a little bit.
Oh, did you?
But go ahead.
I didn't mean to hit again, but I mean for companies to capitalize on this, and they're doing it. They're actually using racism, the anti-racism theme, to sell products and even changing names of a country band. I think he's called himself the Anti-Bellum. I think he called himself the Bees or something. But the companies are selling products. I mean, this is greed at the nth degree. They will commercialize even a tragedy, and this is a tragedy. This is not a movement of righteous anger. This is chaos being caused by people that are either paid to, or as Melody said, are thugs. This is not a righteous movement. Tearing down history. Even in London, they had to board up a Churchill statue because they were going to deface it over the weekend. This is not a righteous movement. These are thugs and paid looters doing this. This has nothing to do with even with a black guy being killed now. It is to loot and steal and destroy. That's what it's all about. There, I said it. Do with it what you want to. It says nothing to do with somebody being killed, black or white, either one. It's an excuse to loot and destroy. That's what it's come down to. And Melody, I didn't want to start with ranting and raving, but that is what it's come down to. They can't any longer say this is over somebody being killed. You don't burn down your neighborhood because somebody else got killed. That's absolutely insane. And and the ones that are doing it know it, but they don't care.
I think if you're capitalizing on this situation, to me, that's what makes them a racist.
It does.
They're being the racist.
Yes.
So, but hey, nobody's upset about that. People are going to make millions. Look at all these sports groups. Oh my gosh! Now, look what NASCAR did. NASCAR
is,
I mean, come on. But where's the people that are outraged? They're afraid to say anything because then they're going to lose their sponsorships. And it's all back down to money. Nobody's afraid to stand up and say something.
Well, Carson Tucker is losing sponsorship. You know that, right?
Yes.
I mean, I lost sponsorship because I said Bush wasn't going to do what he said he was going to do. I lost people that help support this broadcast, my broadcast. I lost support for it. But I will not tell a lie to make money. I mean, if I do that, Melody, I'm no worse than a con man out there that's doing it right now. I'm no better than they are.
I'm
doing the same
business.
Thing you're doing.
I've lost business.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you have.
And it's not because of the way we do business. It's because I'm vocal about what I say about President Trump. I get letters all the time. You shouldn't be so hard on him. I'm not being hard on him. I'm stating a fact.
If the truth is hard on you, sorry about that. It's still the truth.
Change my mind. Have a conversation with me.
Show me we're wrong.
And yet I still had hope, too.
We all did. We all did.
But the numbers didn't add up. The numbers did not spell hope.
No.
And when you start giving away, you know, trillions of dollars to the multinational corporations, the tax cuts didn't help the middle class people. Didn't help us at all.
I want to get a minute left. I'd like to say one more thing. Venezuela, has the largest oil reserves in the world, is now down to one rig pumping oil. the wealthiest nation in South America one time, down to one rig. North Korea slams Trump's hypocritical empty promise as Kim Jong-un friendship is over. And Taiwan fires missiles as prepares for a possible Chinese invasion of its island. Wow, this is happening right now. To speak on top of everything else, this is actually going on. So, and by the way, a church in Los Angeles dressed like protesters and had church, and no one said a word to them. I mean, what can I say? I don't know. I just had to shut about it. But the ones on the North Korea and Taiwan, that is getting serious. It really is. I mean, whenever
I didn't get a chance, what you're talking about, I didn't get a chance to read this, but a gospel radio host, she was gunned down in Baltimore.
For what?
It just seems like she was gunned down. I mean, no, I didn't have a chance to. There was a shooting in her home.
Oh, man.
She was an announcer. She did Gospel Grace program for more than 30 years.
Shot.
Doesn't really say anything about why.
Our society is destroying itself. It really is. So sad.
And we're out of time. That's so sad. But we'll be back on Monday. That might be even sadder. No, I'm just kidding. We'll be back on Monday, so please remember to keep Dave Allen in your prayers, and we'll see if he's here with us Monday, or it'll be you, Butch, if you can.
Okay.
Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
That's too bad.